A weak solidarity briggy team listener when, as the US of the UN of the US of the world pursued its relentless extradition of True Blue Aussie Julian Assange for exposing US of war crimes, the US OB displayed its renowned competence and watertight security by managing to release thousands of top secret security documents revealing what it really thinks about its very, very, very close friends. Who incidentally are their very, very, very closest friend when some government member of that country makes the ritual visit to kowtow and lick boots? In fairness, with True Blue Aussie, it generally manages to work out this is the one down under, not the one next to another very, very close friend, Germany. Well, apart from George W. Bash the Workers, but then he didn't have a clue what it really thinks. So we assumed some giant mind security guru last heard gasping, "Oops, shit, I shouldn't have hit that goddamn key," will, like Assange, now be facing 175 years in the slammer. The US of sure as hell likes to take no risks on longevity, doesn't it? Although they've arrested some hard-right ideologue working for the military. Imagine that, a hard-right ideologue working for the military. And given it revealed secret information about its very, very, very close friend Ukraine's war machine, naturally Ukraine will seek to extradite the security idiot responsible, which the US of couldn't possibly oppose. Well, couldn't possibly oppose without dropping its case against Julian Assange. So it comes down to whether the accused does 175 years in a US of or Ukrainian slammer. In the satire can't compete department, as all this came out after eons expressing on behalf of the whole world, which it represents, the whole liberty, freedom and democracy world, repugnance that evil China is spying on all of us, a US OB spokesperson dismissed criticism with, "It's not serious. Everyone knows that everyone spies on everyone else." What? The US OB spies on people? On everyone else? But a bit of a dilemma facing True Blue Aussie, one of the everyone else's. See, Socialist Party policy commits the government to signing the UN of the US of the UN of the World Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons, which we know was initiated in True Blue Aussie and won a Nobel Peace Prize, described, that is, signing it by big supremo Anthony Albanese as a Labour at its best. But the US OB has ordered, made clear to its very, very, very close friends, they should not sign a treaty banning nuclear weapons because, and here's logic run riot, direct quote, "it would undermine peace and security." Let's try that again. Banning weapons that could destroy the planet before climate change does the job threatens peace and security. And signing the treaty would prohibit nuclear-armed US of air and sea-trained killer protectors of liberty, freedom and democracy from landing in or being based in True Blue Aussie. And wouldn't that be a security disaster? No nuclear targets in True Blue Aussie, a threat to the Fawkes deal. So what a dilemma for the socialist government. And is anyone prepared to bet on which side the super courageous, independent thinking, tongues covered with US of boot polish socialists will come down, or more pertinently, prepared to bet they'll sign the treaty? Ukraine's plea for lovers of liberty, freedom and democracy to condemn Russia's threat to station nuclear weapons in Belarus met with resounding silence from its NATO neighbours which surround Russia, and a very mooted response from the bastion of liberty, freedom and, as Ukraine was reminded, that just a small barrier to criticising evil Russia because good US of has nuclear weapons all over Europe, pointing at we know who. Ditto, as Ukraine et al. In this case attacked the hypocrisy of Russia chairing the UN of Security Council. Its case diluted a fair bit, mainly because long-haired commie greedy goody-goodies pointed out that the US of chaired the council as it was illegally invading, slaughtering and destroying Vietnam, and both the US of and then Her Most Gracious Majesty's home country chaired same while illegally invading, slaughtering and destroying in Iraq and Afghanistan, which took a bit of the stuffing out of the attack. B, oh shit, oops, wrong, goddamn key leak, well, more deluge than leak, included the US of declaring the UN of Supremo Guterres as a person of interest. Sus. Soft on the bad guys, and worse, taking the threat of climate change, if there is such a thing, seriously. This threat to international peace and freedom seems to have forgotten he works for the UN of the US of. He's forgotten the US of bit, and he better learn quickly or else. Are you threatening him? Of course not. Just a bit of advice he'd be advised to heed. The peace-loving US of never, never threatens anyone and would never threaten anyone. Just in case there is such a thing as climate change, two highly responsible bodies, the Clean Energy Investor Group and the Investor Group on Climate Change, not sure what the difference is, iterated their commitment to renewable energy with just the one proviso. They shouldn't have to foot the bill. State and federal governments can stimulate new renewable energy sources, but they should avoid owning generation assets. They showed their commitment to socialism funding, capitalism owning. Governments can provide research and development funding, support demonstration projects, and provide subsidies and other incentives. Aren't we filled with admiration every time we see the caring business class express its big-heartedness? The socialist emission reduction scheme is so effective it has been applauded by much of the pollution industry. Although while the cement industry applauds it, it says it must be exempt because it would be too impractical and costly not to be exempt, and thank goodness the government has agreed. The renowned logic and consistency of the caring business class capitalist economy is exemplified in Silicon Valley, where tech companies hired lots more people than they needed, then unhired, or sorry, sadly had to let go, lots of the people they didn't need. But then, how brilliant, paid recruiters nearly $300,000 not to recruit. Here, the Business Profits Council, always intent on fairness and balance in the caring business class, lazy, avaricious worker relationship, is distraught that the socialists are pursuing ideological restrictions on casual employees and labour hire that would entrench outdated work practices and undermine its supposed support of enterprise bargaining. Worse, the government wasn't consulting nearly enough with caring employers. Yes, what outdated work practices? We asked Supremo Jennifer Worst a wages cut. Totally yesterday, practices like wages, time off, and lots of crippling work practices that undermine the win-win relationship in which the evil, lazy, avaricious workers we so care about can enjoy their desperate desire for flexibility. Well, not workers, individual contractors. What, the government wants them to be paid? I told you it was ideological, and the caring business class is totally opposed to ideology. Although, Jennifer, independent studies, that is, independent of caring employers' assertions, show these workers, individual contractors, whatever, these workers, people, would much rather receive wages and the conditions full-time employees receive. Which shows the dangerous subliminal distortions created by government bent on anti-caring business class ideology. So listen, let's get behind the Caring Business Profits Council campaign. Good luck with it, Jennifer. Thank you. On the evil alternative, and as we contemplate a US old presidential candidate campaigning from a prison cell, the only other person to campaign from prison was, of course, a commie socialist, Eugene Debs, who said, "I thank the capitalist masters for putting me here. They know where I belong under their criminal and corrupting system. It is the only compliment they could pay me." What treason, what ingratitude, what evil. But it gets worse. He was jailed for opposing the war, denouncing anti-war activists being arrested by the junkers of Wall Street. The working class who freely shed their blood and furnish the corpses have never yet had a voice in either declaring war or making peace. It is the ruling class that invariably does both. Any wonder he was charged with sedition? The same charge levelled at Julian Assange, by the way. Oh, and just in case we're wondering, strangely enough, he didn't win. And thank goodness when we read the sensible philosophical truths revealed about commie socialist evil by Lord Rupert of Wapping's usual suspect columnist Bolt Through the Head, this week outing Indigenous academic Marcia Langton as a former communist and informing us, Marxists don't treat people as individuals. They divide us into faceless members of a class. That lets them demonize enemies and crush them like insects. Something capitalism would never do. Thank God for benign capitalism. How would ignorant people gather important knowledge without great thinkers, great purveyors of truth, like Bolt Through the Head? Oh, of course, her Marxist background is all the more reason not to support The Voice. No, no, no. And hasn't caring business class party supremo and would-be big supremo Constable Peter Duffer's decision in Canberra to oppose a voice making decisions in Canberra, like, you know, Canberra, worked a treat? Well, apart from his strong leadership aimed at unity disintegrating around him, but one of our wisest true blue Aussies has reinforced Pete's no, 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 like, you know, no, no, by urging the supporters of a yes vote to be nice. Yes, former minister for going overseas all the time and being a perfectly good little prefect, Alexander, is concerned those out-of-control, long-haired, greeny commie radicals voting yes will cause disruption and say nasty things, hurtful things about the couth, gentle, sophisticated, deep thinkers who know white true blue Aussies should not recognise the terra nullius non-people. And who could be more sophisticated than Constable Duffer? Not suggesting the caring business class hayseed and sheepshit coalition is even slightly conservative, but as the Victorian caring business class lot are about as united as Pete's lot is over The Voice, with a move to overthrow State President Greg Mora Bellicosa, former big-time train killer, partner of that former deeply respected and loved MP Sophie, appointed by former big supremo Scummo as a neutral arbiter to the Fair Work, No True Blue Aussie, No Longer Work Choices Just Looks Like It con mission, a move to replace him because he's not conservative enough. Let's try that one again. The caring business class party says Greg and, by inference, Sophie Mora Bellicosa is stroke R, not conservative enough. Doesn't that say heaps? And won't that do wonders for their inelectability? My word, they're quick learners, and it couldn't happen to a nicer bunch, could it? Finally, while they know recognising the terra nullius non-people as people would be racist and divisive, thank goodness there is one arena where terra nullius non-people can be recognised as non-people people, when they run out on a footy field and can be told they have no right to act like people. Go back to where you came from. Which shows a slight ignorance of history. No right, go back, especially if they're on the other team and as usual are starring and making a mess of your team. We have to wonder what the racists abusing Indigenous players think of the Indigenous stars in their own team, although obviously logical thinking escapes them. Good morning.